Hey Jennifer, I have a question for you. What do you think would happen if you built a snow house in Regina?
Well, it's really cold here in the winter, but the summers can be scorching hot.
So what would happen to your snow house?
You'd be good until maybe March, and then you'd be living in a puddle. What's your point?
My point is, in the same way it makes no sense to build a snow house in the south, it makes no sense to build a southern-style house in the north.
I see where this is going. I've heard that many of the houses in northern reserves are actually designed for the south and built with materials that were developed for the south.
You nailed it. There are so many differences. Limited access, especially for communities that are fly-in only with seasonal ice roads.
And when you get your supplies, you only have a short window for doing the actual construction of the homes.
If you do manage to get the materials and equipment to your community, it's not for sure that you're going to have the people there who are trained to put it all together.
This is starting to seem hopeless. If you don't account for the permafrost melting when you put it in your pilings, your house is going to fall over anyway.
And then you move into your cousin's house and add to the wear and tear on it.
And there are no smoke detectors, and the toilet stops working, and the water isn't drinkable.
This might be the most depressing episode we've ever worked on.
I know. I just want to go home.
No. There is hope. There are brilliant and dedicated people focusing all of their brain power on these challenges.
Yay! Who are these brilliant people? It's not Indian Affairs, is it?
Absolutely not. It's Indigenous architects, designers, builders, and housing officers.
That's awesome. Self-determination in housing. It's about time.
That's exactly what one of my interviews said. Dr. David Fortin is a Métis architect from the Prairies. Today, he is a director and professor in the School of Architecture at Laurentian University in Ontario. And Professor Fortin is one of the people who is putting together a technical guide that housing officers can use when they're designing and building homes in the north.
So it's a guide for housing officers to use.
Right. So we also talked with Chris Stove, a housing inspector with the Interlake Reserve Tribal Council in Manitoba, to hear his thoughts about what will make the technical guide useful for him and other people on the ground.
Beautiful. Let's hear what Professor David Fortin had to say about the technical guide for northern housing.
Dr. Fortin, thanks for talking with us today for our radio podcast about building better in the north. Can you tell me about the work you're doing to develop the technical guide for northern housing?
My work is with the National Research Council of Canada, and the First Nations National Building Officers Association so had initiated or listened to their building inspectors from communities who basically were looking for more than just inspectors to come in to see if the houses were performing, but also if there was a way to assist in basically specifying housing designs that worked properly and, you know, something that I think would allow them to, you know, take housing in a more self-determined way and move away from relying on other people, but how can communities, organizations that are First Nations and Métis, Inuit-led, take more control over the housing process? So the guide is really a multi-year project to work with various people to come up with something that will serve remote northern communities in their own kind of initiatives in terms of their housing aspirations.
It sounds like a really big job to put this together. Who else is working with you?
The National Research Council obviously has many contacts in many different fields. And so at one level, there's a strong technical team that has been established, including various kinds of, let's say, foundation experts and engineers and building envelope experts and, heating and cooling systems and all of those sorts of things, roofing details, window details, all of those things are being looked at very at a technical level. The process that I'm involved with is the question of getting community input and how, you know, one of the failures of housing delivery over, you know, the decades has been that houses were sort of imported into northern remote locations with very little input from community members as to what kind of housing would serve them the best. And so the National Research Council reached out to me to coordinate this, and northern Canada is a very big place, and communities are all very unique. So what I've been leading is a process of working with indigenous architects across the country. Right now we're working with four communities, and those architects are working in regions that they're familiar with, and they are meeting with communities multiple times and really tailoring a housing solution for what each community needs, and that it might reflect, you know, each community differently.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, the ultimate, you know, this is, goes back to the why the guide was there in the beginning, and that goes back that it'll be the building inspectors and the building officers that are working in communities who will be the first users of this, in the sense that they can start to disseminate this to the memberships, you know, through these Indigenous building inspectors. So band councils will be made aware of it through this FNN BOA. And then from there, band councils will be able to spread the use of it through their housing programs. You know, most of them have housing coordinators. So this will eventually make its way into community, and that's really the whole reason for doing this, is so that there's some sort of common understanding, and when people are in communities, wherever they are, that they have a resource that they can pick up that is kind of, you know, has many of the solutions that they're going to be looking for, including, you know, design process, which is, again, what I'm most involved in. But, you know, how do you engage with community and designers and builders to come to something that is going to, you know, have a much higher chance to succeed where it is, and that people are going to see their communities in it. So, you know, really it's coming through building inspectors, through band councils, and eventually through the housing divisions and housing coordinators in community.
Thanks so much, Dr. Fortin. Is there anything else you would like to add?
It's going to take time to see the overall housing stock improve, but there's a lot of initiatives going on around the country right now, and I think it's a really exciting time for communities.
That was awesome, Mick. A lot can happen when communities determine for themselves what kind of houses work for them in their specific territories.
Right, and to get a sense of what it's like on the ground in the northern communities, we talked to Chris Dove. Chris is from Little Saskatchewan First Nation in Manitoba. He's a Red Steel journeyman carpenter and house inspector with 15 years working in new home construction and renovation, in addition to 10 years in commercial building and renovation. Today he works in tribal housing as the operations and maintenance advisor and emergency operations coordinator for Interlake Reserve Tribal Council.
I saw the background on him. He has an amazing range of skills. He is certified to run pretty much any kind of construction equipment, and he has every kind of safety training and first aid training you can get. He has certification for law enforcement, fire, and he is trained as a paramedic.
And he coaches hockey.
All right, let's see what Chris Dove has to say about building homes in the north.
Could you tell me a little bit about the technical guide?
The technical guide is, I was actually reviewing it in the past couple days. I'm actually looking at it again. It is a very useful tool to the First Nations, and I support it. The technical guide, though, will have to be, if I could say it, broken down a little bit more to plain English, because a lot of these, like I said, a lot of these communities aren't educated as a lot of the service technicians that are out there. For a community to look at this technical guide, they're going to see a lot of this, if I could say, almost legal jargon in here that they're not going to understand and they're going to bypass. Yeah, other than that, it is straightforward. Downside to it is when a community that I have experienced firsthand is when they look at a guide such as this one, it falls on an individual that oversees the guide and tries to guide the people in the work field that, unfortunately, himself or herself cannot be out there with them. The work isn't being met to the guide itself because the individual is bogged down with like four or five different other issues or jobs on top of them. So it's to make it work, they would have to have a designated housing individual that just solely operates on all housing, new renovation and dismantling of buildings.
So, do you think the guide will positively affect housing for First Nations?
I sit on a board with six other tribal council members and 14 independent individuals. We meet every couple months in regards to that exact question. We are individuals that are helping the communities thrive for a better technical individual and helping them and giving them the additional tools they need to give them everything they're going to need to know how to run their community housing very efficient without relying on the chief and council or another guidance person that has a lot on their plate where they won't get the help that's being given to them at this time. Also giving them the additional resources of where they could reach out if they do have any questions or issues with any types of building techniques that they are dealing with at the moment.
There's been talk about First Nations wanting their own building code. How does the technical guide for Northern Housing further that goal?
Very good question. The technical guide would be a very versatile tool for the First Nations to have, and for the First Nations to have their own national building code would be excellent. At Fimboa, they're currently working on one to help the First Nations better themselves, getting away from the National Building Code, but at the same time, adopting the National Building Code and making it better for a better First Nations living on reserves. So it's meeting and exceeding the National Building Code itself.
I know that a lot of houses on First Nations were built by Indian Affairs and CMHC in the past. Do you see this changing?
The good thing that is going on right now is that I'm noticing in a lot of the First Nations, not just in Manitoba, throughout Western Canada also, is that a lot of the First Nations are now starting to go solely on doing their own independent housing, which we are assisting them. That's one of the programs I am in. Now they're looking at the different building practices, different building techniques that are out there, the different building styles, and the more energy efficiency that they could get from the different building practices that are out there. So the communities are now going from the cookie cutter blueprints to designing and building their own that meet the community's needs, landscaping, and environment.
That's great, Chris. So is there anything else First Nations need to improve their housing situation?
What would I like to see happen is for each First Nations to have a licensed certified technician in every community. And that's what I would like to see. I've noticed in these communities there are people that care of their own community. To have the support of leadership to carry on what they are licensed to do and for them to build a better community for themselves.
Chris, is there anything else you would like to add?
What I would like to add is hoping that more First Nations would be more open to seeing the different ideas out there, particularly for Fimboa, that the technical advice and leadership or direction that Fimboa offers.
Great interview. It's good to hear from both an expert and someone who's working in housing on the ground, so to speak.
Home on the Res is written by Shannon Avison. Our chief producer and coordinator is Annette Ermine. Morgan Esperance does our transcripts. Megan Curry designed our logo. John Kudrowski is our consultant from Fimboa. And Keith Miracle is president of Fimboa.
We are journalism students at the First Nations University of Canada and the University of Regina. I'm Jennifer Francis.
And I'm McFavel. Remember, you can download all of our episodes from www.fnnboa.ca. Thanks for listening to Home on the Res.